That's right, folks. C for comedy, A for Abbott, M for Maxwell, E for Ennis, L for Lou Costello. Put them all together and they spell Camel. Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. And draw up a chair for tonight's Camel Show, starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Put away that bag of popcorn and stop eating. All you do is eat. You're getting fatter every minute.
I am not getting fat. Everybody says I'm getting slim as an eel.
You're getting slim as an eel?
Sure, when people see me, they say, here comes Costello. What a slim eel. Hey, Abbott, besides, I don't want to get fat. Getting fat is expensive.
Oh, how can getting fat be expensive?
Well, I got a battleship tattooed on my chest. And every time I gain 10 pounds, I got to put on another lifeboat.
Oh. Don't talk sense. Just look at you. How did you get that lump on your head? And all those bruises on your face?
Well, last night I called on the little redhead that lives next door. Yeah. And she told me to take her in her arms and forget everything.
And did you?
Yes. I forgot that the lights were on, the shades were up, and her father was in the next room.
Costello, you've got to stop chasing after every girl you see. Do you want to become a masher?
I wouldn't mind being a masher if I could pick my own potatoes.
I lied. Look, what were you doing at this little redhead's house?
Oh.
You told me you had a date with Marilyn Maxwell.
Well, I did have it, but Marilyn busted it. She don't want to go out with me no more. She says we're intellectual opposites.
You and Marilyn are intellectual opposites?
Yep, she's intellectual and I'm the opposite.
I don't blame Marilyn. You've been taking up her time for a whole year, and you've never proposed to her.
Oh, I did propose to Marilyn Abbott, but her answer had a string to it.
Her answer had a string to it?
Yeah, she told me to go fly a kite.
You don't know how to propose to girls. You've got to make them think they are everything, and you're nothing.
I tried that too, Abbott. I said to her, Marilyn, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can't give you nothing.
What did she say?
Nothing.
Where did you propose to her?
Well, in a lunchroom. We were eating meatloaf.
Ah, no wonder Marilyn keeps turning you down, proposing to a girl over a plate of meatloaf. You should take her out and gaze at the stars. The skies are full of things we know nothing about.
So is meatloaf.
Well, hello there, boys.
Why, it's Marilyn Maxwell.
Marilyn, my love, Marilyn. Come put your arms around me.
Like this, Louis?
Yes, now hold me tighter. Tighter. That's it. Just hold me.
Okay. How long do you want me to hold you?
For 30 days. If nobody calls for me, I'm yours. Well, I got the next line. Excuse me. Well, Marilyn. Marilyn, when I'm close to you like this, I can't seem to break away. Something keeps snapping me back.
Is it law?
No, you're standing on my garter.
Hey, Costello, she seems in a good mood. Why don't you pop the question again?
Huh? Okay.
Pop the question again.
Okay, wait. Marilyn, you know how I feel about you. I don't know how to say this, but do you think that two people could live on $75 a week?
Well, what are you talking about, Louis? I make that much myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, Louis. The man I marry must be romantic.
Well, ain't I romantic? Didn't I come to your house Sunday night and bring you a big box of Cracker Jacks?
Yes.
Didn't I?
Then you held my hand, and I held your hand, and then you held my hand again. Is that any way to make love?
No, but do you know a better way to make a box of Cracker Jack last all night? Marilyn, I'll prove to you that I can really make love. I'll give you a real burning kiss that will set you on fire.
All right, Louis, give me a real burning kiss.
There. How was that?
You better throw another log on the fire.
Well, oh, gee. Did you hear that, Costello? Oh, Marilyn is not the girl for you. She's a nice girl and all that, but she's snobbish.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm... What'd you say?
I said Marilyn's snobbish.
She is not snobbish. She's an American just like you and me.
No.
Don't call Marilyn snobbish when she ain't.
No, you dummy. I mean, she's snobbish. She's aloof.
Make up your mind, Abbott. Is she snobbish or aloof?
Oh, about 50-50. I'd say she was half snobbish and half aloof.
Well, a half aloof is better than none.
No. Costello, you're talking about a loaf. I'm talking about aloof. Marilyn is aloof. She's well-bred.
How do you like that? Now Marilyn is a loaf of bread. Next thing you'll be telling me, she's a jelly donut.
Oh, Costello, will you listen to me? I'm trying to describe Marilyn's character. Haven't you noticed how she goes about with perspicacity?
Good. When did she start going with Percy Cassidy?
No.
Percy Cassidy is still going steady with Cynthia Rosenblatt.
No, you idiot. Perspicacity is not a person. Perspicacity means a distinction. Anyone can have perspicacity. You have perspicacity. Therefore, you have distinctness.
I got what?
You have distinctness. Distinctness.
You don't smell so good yourself.
Stop that. I said you have distinctness. You are distinguished. Or, as they would call you in French, distingué.
Could I have that again? In French?
In French. Certainly. That French, you see, the French change the last two syllables. In English, it's distinguished. In French, it's stingé.
Abbott, they don't speak French in Patterson. And everybody there used to call me stingé. Hey, stingé!
Costello, you're impossible. Merle Maxwell is smart to keep away from you. It proves she's astute.
Yes. It. Could I have the last one again?
Astute.
Astute? Abbott, astute all I'm going to astute from you. I can't astute anymore.
Look, Costello, will you listen to me? When I say Marilyn is aloof, I'm not talking about a loaf. Aloof is a mark of character, like distinctness. And a person who is distinct has perspicacity, and perspicacity makes one astute.
Oh, when you say aloof, you're not talking about a loaf.
No.
Aloof is a mark of character, like distinctness. And a person who is distinct has perspicacity, and perspicacity makes one astute.
Now you're in there pitching.
I may be in there pitching, but the batter is knocking my brains out.
Experience is the best teacher.
Joe, back from a 2-year trip in the Orient, is celebrating his return by dining with his old friend, Bob. Bob says,
cigarette, Joe? Thanks. Camels, I see. Changed your brand, haven't you?
Yeah. That was one time when a wartime shortage did me some good. You know, we were mighty short of cigarettes here during the war.
True where I was, too.
Well, like everybody else, I smoked any brand I could get. Tried them all, I guess. That certainly taught me plenty about cigarettes. Camels stood head and shoulders above the rest as far as I was concerned.
Yes, experience is the best teacher. During the wartime cigarette shortage, when people smoked any brand they could get, millions learned the differences in cigarette quality. It was then that people's T-zones, that's T for taste and T for throat, compared cigarette after cigarette. Millions learned that Camels' rich, full flavor and cool mildness suited them to a T. The result?
Today, more people smoke Camels than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. And while you light up a Camel, hear Skinny Ennis to sing It's the Same Old Dream.
I can see a steeple surrounded by people. Oh, how real it all starts to seem. Just as the choir is singing, my alarm starts ringing, it's the same old dream. And then my thoughts inspire a scene by the fire in a cottage close by a stream. I know it all by heart now, we're about to part now, it's the same old dream. If you but knew how many times I pretend I'm with you, I'm sure your heart would unbend. You'd see me through until my dream had a happy ending. I can picture clearly the things I love dearly. In the center you reign supreme. We kiss and I discover I'm a lonesome lover, is the same old dream.
I
I can picture clearly the things I love dearly. In the center you reign supreme. We kiss and I discover I'm a lonesome lover. It's the same old dream.
Gee, Abbott, I've been talking to Merlin and she turned me down again. Life means nothing without her. I don't care what happens.
Costello,
now.
Costello, put that gun down. It might go off.
I don't care.
But it's pointed at me.
That's why I don't care.
Now, listen, you dummy.
And a boy, Skinny!
Now, wait a minute. Listen to me, you dummy. You can win Merlin by impressing her. She's impressed with, by celebrities. So all you have to do is become famous, get your name in the paper.
I know what I'll do, Abbott. I'll start a fight with you.
No, no, fighting with me won't get your name in the papers.
At Ciro's?
No, look. Will you listen to me? To get in the papers, you've got to get... Will you listen to me?
I'm listening!
I want to get your face in the papers. But you've got to get mixed up with somebody big.
Okay, then I'll fight Joe Louis.
You're not afraid of Joe Louis?
No, Abbott, I'm not afraid of Joe Louis.
Well,
I'll go right up to him and I'll say, Joe Louis, put up your dukes.
I ain't afraid of you. I'll knock your block off. That's what I'll say to Joe Louis. Through that little slit in my armored car.
You talk sense, Costello. Now, look, if you want to become famous and get your name in the papers, you'll have to hire a publicity man. A man who will think up ways of getting your face before the public.
How can he do that?
Well, he might get all the bakeries to stamp your picture on all their soda crackers.
Oh, no, he won't. I ain't going to have kids all over the country slapping peanut butter and jelly in my kitchen.
All right, come on, Costello. I'm taking you to the best publicity man in Hollywood. When he gets through publicizing you, Marilyn Maxwell will come to you on bended knees.
Oh, yes. Yes, she will.
Yes.
Oh, boy, lead me to him.
Yeah, well, no. Here's his office. Let's go in.
Well, gentlemen, I'm Brown, the publicity man. The second most famous Mr. Brown in the country. Number two brownie, they call me. As the bandit said when he stuffed the paper towel in his victim's mouth, anything for a gag. Now, what can I do for you?
You can take that gag you stuffed in the victim's mouth and drag it over to Tom Brenneman. It's old enough to get an orchid. This guy must be writing for Fred Allen.
Oh, quiet, Costello. Mr. Brown, could you think up a stunt that would make Costello famous overnight?
Oh, yes, I've got just a stunt for Costello. It's never been done before. I'll have him sit on a flagpole.
Wait a minute. Lots of guys have sat on flagpoles.
At half mast?
Oh, no. You call that a publicity stunt? My Uncle Mike in Patterson played a game of poker with a TWA hostess while sitting on the wing of a plane going to Honolulu.
Clipper?
Yes, he beat her out of a few bucks.
Mr. Brown, don't you have some sensational stunt that Costello could do?
Oh, yes, indeed. As the doctor said when he slapped the newborn baby, this will open your eyes. Costello, I'm going to have you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, what a stunt. I can see you now. You're standing on the rail of the bridge.
That ain't me.
Now you're all poised to make your leap.
That ain't me.
A crowd gathers to watch you, and suddenly there's a loud scream, and a man faints.
That's me.
Abbott, get me out of here.
Costello, calm yourself. Mr. Brown will think of something.
Yes. I don't want to go around the world.
Quiet.
Oh, and listen, as the mailman said to the lady with a measles sign on her house, you've got something there. As you boys know, Milton Reynolds holds the record for flying around the world in an airplane. Now, Costello, you're going to break that record. Tell me, have you had any experience in the air?
Oh, sure. During the war, I was an ace. I destroyed 19 planes.
Costello, you destroyed 19 planes?
I could never get those darn things off the ground.
Well, Costello, if you will pilot a jet plane around the world in record time, you will be the most famous man in the history of aviation.
Think of it, Costello. You'll be a hero. Marilyn Maxwell will throw herself at your feet. She'll adore you.
Abbott, I'll pilot that plane around the world on one condition. I'll have to have two saxophones, a banjo, three trombones, and a piccolo in the cockpit with me.
What for?
I fly by instruments.
Well, Costello, get yourself a sponsor with plenty of money to pay for the plane and finance the trip, and I'll see you at the airport tomorrow.
Okay, Mr. Brown, goodbye.
Where are we going, Abbott?
Well, we're going to see Mrs. Wetwash and get her to sponsor your trip around the world. She's the only one we know who's loaded with money. She's got plenty of the long green.
She's got a few of the long red ones, too.
All right, never mind that. Knock on the door and see if she's home.
Oh, well, hello there, Mr. Abbott. My, I wonder why the butcher left the tub of lard on my front porch. Pardon me, it's Costello.
Mrs. Wetwash, I wish you hadn't said that. I was just telling Abbott what beautiful hair you've got.
Oh, thank you. Did you notice the little white ribbon in my hair?
Oh, is that a ribbon? I thought it was a price tag.
That was very funny, Costello. Why don't you go over to the ostrich farm and show the big birds what a real egg looks like?
I love to see you laugh, Mrs. Wetwash. Your teeth sparkle so.
Oh, they should. I see my dentist twice a year.
Yes, one for each tooth.
Cut that out, Costello. Mrs. Wetwash, Costello is going to fly around the world as a publicity stunt, and we'd like to have you finance the trip. You know, be Costello's sponsor, like.
What's the matter? Did the camel people finally get wise to him?
Please, Mrs. Wetwash, I gotta make that trip. I gotta become famous. If you put up the money, I'll give you my personal note.
Oh, very well. I'll loan you the money. But I'll bet you don't pay me back until I'm 60.
Abbott, you must the money back in 3 days.
All right. Quiet, Costello. Mrs. Wetwash, make out the note and Costello will sign it.
Oh, very well. Well? I promise to pay Mrs. Winifred Wetwash $10,000. There you are, Costello. Just sign your John Hancock on this line.
My what?
Your John Hancock.
I'm John Hancock? Mrs. Wetwash, don't you know me? I'm Lou Costello.
Oh, I know you're Lou Costello. All I want you to do is sign that note.
Okay, I'll sign it for a minute. I thought you didn't recognize me.
Oh, quit stalling. Sign your John Hancock on that note.
Abbott, call for the police.
What for?
This woman is deliberately and with molasses aforethought attempting to impangle me into computing a felony.
How can you say that? How can you say that?
It's easy when you don't know what you're talking about.
Say you're John Hancock. I don't mean you're John Hancock. I mean when you sign Lou Costello, that is your John Hancock, even though you're Lou Costello.
Oh, you mean when you say you're John Hancock, you don't mean you're John Hancock. You mean when I sign Lou Costello, that's my John Hancock. Even though... Why don't they make it bigger print?
Now you're cooking with gas.
Well, I may be cooking with gas, but somebody keeps blowing out my pilot light.
The makers of Camel cigarettes present lovely Marilyn Maxwell from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of High Barbaree. For her Camel fans everywhere, Marilyn sings...
Mama, tell me, do I gotta? Mama, tell me, do I gotta? Do I gotta kiss him every night? Mama, tell me, what is proper? How did you react to Papa? You should know, 'cause Ma, you did all right. If I play hard to get, will I lose him? When he wants a kiss, should I let?